The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson, Dylan Michaels. We had up until 2 o'clock. So we said as we went to break there in the previous hour that there is breaking news in the NFL. And it's a pretty big deal because contract worthy and the numbers of the contract, Tyreek Hill-esque contract. So we tell you it's a wide receiver there. It may not be who people think would be getting this huge deal. It's like, well, you know what? The 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, the Bengals and T. Higgins. These teams are going through these. Are they going to trade them tomorrow night? Are they going to trade them before tomorrow night? These wide receivers want new deals. And there might be some issues with the team. Well, there's a wide receiver that signed a four-year, $120 million contract in breaking news that just took place. Now, Sterling Holmes. Yeah, there you go. Now, we'll tell you who that is if you don't know, but Sterling Holmes, you do...
I'm your co-host.
you do a lot of different things in terms of podcasts, and you get a chance to interview some NFL players, some prospects. So last week, we heard on Friday your conversation with Ladd McConkey, your conversation with Julian Edelman. You've talked with Jared Goff. You have talked with, very recently, let's say, I don't know, an hour ago.
Yeah.
With a man by the name of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, there's breaking news at about 10:55 that Amon-Ra St. Brown has signed a massive four-year, $120 million contract, $30 million annual average value, Tyreek Hill-esque. T. Higgins is going to want... the bag. Brandon Ayuk is going to want the bag for how much now wide receivers are going for, which we can talk about the impact of this as to whether or not you do need to take a wide receiver in the draft, because look at how much money they're going for. So maybe you do need to get a high-level wide receiver for 4 years or whatever. So we can talk about what the impact is. But you just talked to Amon-Ra St. Brown at 9:50 and got done with that conversation at 10 o'clock. Now 10:50 is when the news broke. I'm assuming you guys talked about this massive contract that he had just signed.
Yeah, first team All-Pro last year, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. He gets a large contract. No, surprisingly, Amon-Ra St. Brown did not give me that information.
Yeah.
The sun god, what are you doing? Why couldn't you have let me bin Adam Schefter for one moment? Why could you have not given me... In fairness, I don't think he'd sign the contract at that point.
Hold on. So you think you talked with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You got done at
10 o'clock talking with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you think he went from that interview to go inside. Was he doing it from, like, the GM's office?
Well,
like the
it
Zoom
did look
there?
Like, I'll show you the background. It sure enough looked like it. Wood paneling background. It looks like a GM's office.
He's at Ford Field right now. We know he's at Ford Field right now because he just posted on Instagram, "What's up, Detroit? I'm at Ford Field. Four more years. Let's do it. Let's get it." I don't know what events are taking place right now. I know that obviously the draft is there, but I don't know what events, because there was a lot of background noise on the IG story of him being at Ford Field. He's like, everybody's here at Ford Field, and let's get it for the next 4 years. What's up, Detroit? And he just posted that on IG.
Yeah.
So he was clearly around some higher-ups he did that interview with you.
Yeah. Yeah, of
so
course.
One of two things happened. Either he'd agreed to this contract and knew that it was going to break and then did an interview with you, which, by the way, is pretty badass for you. Did an interview with you knowing this guy's like, I'm getting $30 million. I just signed a $120 million contract, but I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to play it cool. All right, I'm good. All right, cool. Let's do this interview. Hey, man, what's up? No, I'm just over here just living the dream, just getting ready to get Pro Bowl. Detroit was fun last year. We'll see what we can do. And then leave there, and you've already signed the contract. Or it was in the works, they were finalizing the details, and he's like, agent, I'll be right back with you. I'm going to go tape this interview with Sterling Holmes in Kansas City. I'll be right back. Hold the negotiations real quick.
Yeah.
I got to head to this other room. And then he came back and signed. What do you think? You talked with him. Now, I guess there's an embargo on the conversation. You're forced to keep it to yourself.
Some of it, yeah. But Jason Bateman couldn't have acted that well. Like, if you sign a contract for 120 mil, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to me. I'm not even part of the Detroit media. I'm in Kansas City.
I'll be honest with you, Sterling. If I sign a $120 million contract, I'll talk to anybody at any time. So I will talk to you for $120 million.
Sure.
I know. I get what you're saying.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did, and he is a great poker face because he was excited to be on the interview. But it was nothing. It wasn't out here jumping like he was 8 minutes late to the interview. I will say that.
Oh, there it is. He was 8 minutes late. This dude had already signed the contract.
He was 8 minutes late, and if it was for 120 mil, and I was a little, you know how it gets sometimes. I have this show going on at 10. I had to be done, so I had a hard out.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting here going, Is he going to be late? Amon-Ra St. Brown is a punctual man. That's a man who's been on time.
Look at his route running. He's on time.
He's on time. So is that 8 minute late because he was signing that contract? Could be.
Yes. Of course it was. Right? Is there any other explanation for him to be late? 8 minutes late? I mean, you got to read through the fine print and all that stuff and the details, but you know what it was? He's like, look, I got this interview coming up at, what time was it supposed to start? 9:45?
9:40. Started at 9:48.
Hey, I got this interview at 9:40. Let's go ahead and get this done. And they got it done at 9:40. He signed it, and then they celebrated, and they were hugging and everything. And then he's like, all right, I got to go. I can play this off. All right, dry my eyes and everything. Come on, let's get ready for this interview. Hi, Sterling. What's up, man? No, I'm just sitting over here broke as a joke. You know, can't even afford to be an elf. You know, certainly not not Santa Claus.
When he hopped on that interview, did he say, hey, I'm sorry I'm late a little bit?
No. He was...
Sorry I'm rich. Late. Sorry about that.
Because you could have been that guy and go, hey, no problem, man, but why are you making me wait here? And he would have been forced to either lie to you or say,
damn.
Hey, no problem, man. It's all good.
Everyone I talk to from now on who's even close to contract negotiations, I'm bringing this up. This is going to be my starting line. You're early? Why are you early? You have to hop off early to sign a contract extension? Is that why?
If you talk to Brandon Ayuk anytime soon, you need to ask, so I'm just wondering, you're right on time. Is that because you're very punctual that now you're paid? You're a little bit late. Did you just sign a contract? You know, you're early. Are you getting this in so then you can go and sign the contract? Like, what's the deal as to why this time you are showing up and talking with me?
I will say it was pretty cool talking with him. One of the things I talked about, again, I'm doing a podcast for Sports Radio 810 called Around the NFL. First one just dropped. If you want to follow me on Twitter at HomestretchKC, you can check it out. But the first thing I brought up was I talked to Jared Goff last week, okay? Talk to Goff. I said, just so you know, Jared, Amon-Ra St. Brown speaks three languages. He speaks German. Have you ever thought about trying to confuse the defenses? You audible at the line of scrimmage, and you just give some German commands. The play's in German. He goes, I have not thought of that. I need to bring that up to him. Well, when I talk to Amon, the first question I ask him is, you know, I talked to Jared last week. Pretty good idea. He seemed to enjoy it. What, do you have any play calls in German? And he goes, literally last week, must have been the second you got off the phone call with Jared, he texted me and said, we need to work on some plays in German. I want to work on some audibles in German. So I'm out here. I'm an OC. I didn't get the scoop there, but I might be creating
you're becoming language barriers. You're becoming a Lions insider here, all of a sudden. You talk to Jared Goff. So if we hear, this is legit, though. I actually do believe this to be of a connection. A correlation causation. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think it's correlation causation. If we hear an audible in German next year, that's clearly you.
Yes, I would think so. Yes.
Because if it was just random, he would have done it last year. They would have already thought to do it last year. He hadn't thought of that. You brought it up with him. Then he contacts Amon-Ra saying, hey, I'm learning some German so I can make some audibles and some play calls in German so people know what it is, and it'll be specifically for you and maybe some other wide receivers. If that happens, that is a direct correlation to you, and you're the last person to talk to Amon-Ra St. Brown before it was announced he is the now highest-paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and I love my producer, just so nice, texting me, go, this man interviewed with you and then immediately went and signed a contract extension. Yeah, thanks, Sean.
You should reply and say, no, he was 8 minutes late. He signed it before I talked with him, and he is one hell of an actor, and he acted like he didn't just get $77 million guaranteed, which is, by the way, $2 million more guaranteed than Cooper Kupp, who had already set the record for wide receivers. So now, the fact that Amon-Ra St. Brown has the tied with the most annual average value with Tyreek Hill at $30 million per year, but he's got $5 million more guaranteed dollars than Tyreek got, $2 million more what was the previous record, that makes him the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the league, is this fourth rounder in Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I think Sterling also, too, this might be a trickle-down effect that you told Goff, if he's done that, now he's going to start audibling in German, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Does that mean if a number one cornerback is on him, he is then told to learn German as well each week so that he can figure out the audible?
And the Chiefs played in Germany, and they didn't even learn German for that.
You know what? And then
it's a trickle-down effect. It's a butterfly
effect where now the United States is going to have to learn German, and we become very cultured. We learn so many different languages. It's going to be great. Okay. He also speaks French, so maybe this is a trick.
He's giving away all the tricks now.
So now if they go to French, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, now
it's
nothing.
It's like when Kobe learned how to trash talk in Spanish, so he could, who was it? It was, oh man, I'm forgetting who, Luis Scola. Yeah. So he trash talked Luis Scola, he learned Spanish.
Dude, that's like, all right, I'm a big fan of the other guys.
Yeah, all right. Great movie.
And so it's like, hold on, you learned to dance ironically? Hold on, you learned Spanish just to talk trash to this guy?
Dance like that sarcastically?
That's right, you learned to dance like that sarcastically? You learned Spanish just to talk trash to a guy on the court? I appreciate the hustle. Mm-hmm. I totally appreciate that drive. That is a different. Some people learn a different language because they simply want to learn a different language, or maybe they start firing other, you know, neurons in your synapses in your brain by learning different languages. He's doing it because he just wants to talk smack to that guy and get in that guy's head. And the only way he can get in that guy's head is through his language. No language barrier anymore. Basketball is a language for everybody. You can speak basketball on the floor. Everybody knows that. But I can actually speak his language and get inside his head and let him know that I am so engulfed in breaking you down. I learned Spanish just so it'll help me beat you. Take that there, Scola.
I love how you said basketball is just a common language. It is. There's also common sayings that go with it that just make me laugh. Do you remember Jermaine Jones? Probably not. He played for the Lakers, Sixers. I played basketball with him on some Sunday mornings when I lived in Philly. And he
Hollywood star.
How about this?
Jermaine Jones, come on now. But yes. My favorite thing he would do
was as he was 50 years old?
Yes,
or
he was 40 something. And he was cooking dudes. He made a European player leave the gym because he was getting cooked. The European player was currently playing like overseas. That's how good these NBA players
are. So he sent him back to Europe?
Basically.
I can't beat a 43-year-old bench warmer. I'm done.
He just kept saying, yo, whose baby is this? Whose baby? And I go, it really is a common language when you play basketball. Whose baby? That's what he would say to anyone.
To
who
you?
No, I was on his team. Who was trying to guard him. Or
did you turn any of his dimes into nickels?
Turn them to quarters.
No, you didn't. No, you did not.
I could just shoot.
Dude, I dropped a dime and you missed a layup, man. Thank you.
You think I'm going in the paint?
That's a great point. That's a really good point. You know what? That's great. But any passes that were right in the pocket that you missed? Right in the shooter's pocket. Great pass from
Jones.
You think
I missed Jason? Come on.
I hope you would miss Jason.
It
depends on how long
we're
apart.
Every weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
But I just always love, whose baby?
That's a great line.
And then he with us. Anytime the opposing team shoots, he with us.
That's a great line.
Basketball, common language.
By the way, look, this is a sort of an aside, but looking at the annual average value of wide receivers in the NFL, so Tyreek and Amon-Ra St. Brown are now tied at $30 million apiece. After that is Devontae Adams. After that is Cooper Kupp. And coming in fifth is A.J. Brown. What's interesting about that, if we look at the top five, is that it's only one first-rounder. You get Tyreek in the fifth round, and even without the off-the-field stuff, he wasn't going to be a first-rounder because he was a special teamer, right? He played running back, he played wide receiver, he was a returner. Amon-Ra, fourth-rounder, Cooper Kupp, a third-rounder, Devontae Adams, a second-rounder, and then A.J. Brown, a first-rounder. And if you go down even more, you've got Devontae Smith, top 10. So A.J. Brown was pick 18, 16? Trying to think of where
believe it was the late
where
teens.
Titans, where they took Burks from Arkansas after they traded A.J. Brown. It was the late teens, though. It was after 15, before 20.
It was 16.
16, okay. Devontae Smith, top 10. DK Metcalf, which, if my memory serves, I believe he was a second rounder taken somewhere after Mecole Hardman. Okay, if memory serves correct. Yes, memory does serve correct. So you've got DK Metcalf, a second rounder. Then after DK Metcalf, in terms of annual average value, is Deebo Samuel, second rounder. After Deebo Samuel is Michael Pittman, second rounder. Calvin Ridley, first rounder. Terry McLaurin, third rounder. Stephon Diggs, for whatever reason, it's not ringing a bell as to where Stephon Diggs was drafted. I don't know why.
I thought it was a fifth.
It was day three, but I'm trying to think of. I think you're right on the fifth round pick. I'm gonna go with fifth rounder because I think you're. It was day three.
Fifth round. I'm looking right here. Fifth round.
So it was day three. T. Higgins, second rounder. We've mentioned three first rounders and we're 12 guys deep in this one. I mean, DJ Moore, first rounder. So there you go. So now we're at four. Mike, I mean, is there something to take away from that when we talk about, you know, wide receivers? Or are we looking at maybe the more recent ones are the first round wide receivers that we're looking at and we're getting more first rounders closer to now and some of the more recent first-round wide receivers haven't had chances to have that $30, $35 million because, you know, T. Higgins is just on the franchise tag as a second-rounder, but a high-end second-rounder as, you know, the first pick of the second round. That one hurts. Some would say right one pick right after Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But, like, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get paid. Justin Jefferson is going to get paid. Those guys are going to be one and two in some order. And you're going to say, oh, the top two are both first rounders that were, you know, legit players that, you know, another team. So you got one team that traded a wide receiver for a first rounder that killed it, and another team that traded a wide receiver for a first rounder that got killed. You got Justin Jefferson and Burks, Minnesota and Tennessee.
I think what you're getting at is the Chiefs should just draft a wide receiver in all of the first five rounds. No. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
five.
I see what you're saying.
Just get all receivers and have a battle royale.
And then pay them all. Yeah, why not? It's never been done before. It's a great strategy. Try something
different. Is that what you were getting at, Jason?
That's what I'm going with. The
game plan? Or?
Yes, I'm going with draft a wide receiver in every round and then pay every single one of them. Mm. And just figure it out. See what score 100 points a game. If you score 100, there's no way a defense is going to give up 100. Now, I did just mention you were scoring 100, so therefore a defense would be giving up 100.
The paradox there, Jason.
But don't worry about the logic of that. What I'm saying is if you score 100, your defense will not give up 100. That's all I'm saying. Score 100 per game. 20-0.
Checks out.
Lock it up. Championship. Go and wrap it up right now. 20-0. Who says no? Who says no to drafting a wide receiver in every single round and then no matter what, paying them at the end of the fifth-year option and then 4 years? So, yeah, that's just my strategy. That's just smart. That's what that is. You know, surround. You don't need offensive linemen if you're just throwing the ball quickly to wide receivers. Who needs an offensive lineman?
They're all eligible.
Yes, come on.
What was that one play? Was the Colts did it when they had just the center and quarterback and everyone else lined up and then he immediately got sacked?
Wasn't that McAfee?
Was that Pat McAfee?
Yeah, it was the Colts. It was the punt that you're thinking about. Yeah, it was McAfee and the Colts in one of the craziest, dumbest attempted fake punts ever.
Yeah, there was a no-go call that was called and then wasn't heard. So the center, the most important person that's supposed to hear it, didn't hear it, snapped the ball.
Wasn't there one, though, with Dallas where Zeke got steamrolled?
That's one, too. I think Zeke did.
Where Zeke just got steamrolled.
Yeah. Like, that one,
2 years ago?
Yes. That was the last play of the divisional against the Niners, I think it was.
Okay. And oh, because yes. they were trying to do some crazy, like, throw the ball around, hook and ladder, and then Zeke got destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
He got destroyed on that one. Yeah, that's the one you're thinking of as well.
So that's Jason's offensive coordinator game plan, is if you draft all these wide receivers, you run that play every time.
And one of those wide receivers is Xavier Leggett, so you put him in the backfield. So now you've got your running back wide receiver. You know, you got a tight end wide receiver. You know,
Where's Mahomes fit into this game?
He's the quarterback.
Jason? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. He's the quarterback.
I thought you had 11 wide receivers.
No, it's just like Jason. 7-on-7. Creed Humphrey just snaps the ball right back to him and then, you know, sits there in his crouch. Just snaps the ball and stays there and looks around. It's like, what a great snap by this fellow right there. What's his name? Creed? I don't think we need to pay him. We're not getting much out of him. Plus, I mean, the snaps would have to be good. That would be his one job. Hopefully, if that's his one job and he doesn't have to do anything else, the snaps would be perfect at that point. Because then you just snap it and stay crouched. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just throw the ball. It's new age football. It's 7-on-7.
Arena football.
Yeah, right? I mean, Herm Edwards hated it. This is not arena football. You can't just score every time you touch the ball. It's complimentary football.
Do you think Herm hates watching the Chiefs right now offensively?
You play to score less points. You play. It's arena football. What was that about Herm?
You think Herm just hates, he's just punching air, just going, the Chiefs shouldn't score this many points. They shouldn't do this.
I think he's probably more punching air that Jaden Daniels is going to be a top five pick, and he recruited him to Arizona State. And it didn't work there the way that it did at LSU. He's probably punching air more with that. It's like, I got that guy. I recognize. But did you or did like the your pro player personnel that you had, because he had a GM. Like, well, I'm the sort of the coach over here, but then we got a GM that covers like all of the. It was a different way of going about it, but they did find a top five quarterback in the draft. I mean, with that, so you know, got that going for him, and he had a NFL head coach on his staff, and Antonio Pierce, that's now the head coach of the Raiders. So he had a couple. I mean, it wasn't all that bad, you know. And now they're heading to the Big 12, so it all worked out. All worked out in the end. I don't know what that last part has to do with anything other than Sterling Holmes had the story of the day, but was misled by apparently what you said was a really nice guy who was enthusiastic about the interview, but apparently was enthusiastic about the interview because he had just been given $77 million earned $77 million guaranteed and a $30 million annual average value over 4 years, $120 million contract, 4 years. I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Hey, Bryce saw me and goes, this dude, I cannot tell because he is going to ask me for money. This dude is going to ask me.
No, with that hair and the polo shirt you're wearing, this guy's
say,
fine.
The way you dress.
This guy's taken care of.
You want to go manage the money.
What's your portfolio looking like, Sterling? I've just come into some money. I just finished up my fourth round rookie deal.
I have some video game software that we could invest in with a pitcher, if you wanted to try that, maybe.
Oh, man. Well, who was the NBA player, Walker, that had the $100 million? Dollars or whatever that he's bankrupt now.
Walker Kessler?
No, last name.
Antoine Walker?
Yeah, bigger guy. Right?
Antoine Walker?
Yeah, ended up eating his former self. Works with the SEC Network now.
Yeah, Antoine Walker. Yeah.
I felt bad for him, like when you actually, because people made fun of him and it was like, you know, the guy made $120 million and then he was bankrupt. I felt bad for him because he talked about he had an inability to say no. Like his family and friends, like he was paying everything because the money was just going to keep going. This is in the 90s, right? This dude had a monthly bill for his friends and family's phone and cars of $300,000 a month. That's what he was paying for his friends and family's cars and phones and everything.
3.6 mil a year.
Because he couldn't say no. And then another part that people don't realize in that one is he had two lawsuits out because two different managers stole money from him, you know, because you expect to trust those guys, sort of Shohei Ohtani, right? But he didn't have that much money. He had a couple of investment deals that went belly up in the 2008 market crash, you know, so it's like he made 120, but it wasn't like he was just out being dumb. He said the biggest mistake that he made was, you know, not saying no. The other ones were just investments of like, I've got this money I'm investing in real estate. I'm investing in this business. I've got a friend who's a manager that now has stolen money from me, you know, and the next thing you know, you're out. You're done. And
so you know, not saying no boils it all down as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Not saying no to my friends, my manager.
This
investment opportunity over there. Yeah, let's do that. This is the way to diversify, you know, over there. And my friends are taken care of because I got this investment over there. That's going to keep earning money. You know,
this was before all the information that we have about all this now, where all these kids, unfortunately, the people that never talk to him come out of the woodwork. On days like today, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, we'll have plenty of people.
Yeah.
Like we joke about it with Sterling, there will be people that will come and show up and have all these ideas for that.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that should be at every rookie symposium is learn to say no.
Yeah,
learn to say no. Learn to. I know there is because I think that goes to like, hey, you know what? He cared. He had a big heart, and he wanted to bring everybody with him. Like he wanted everybody to experience what he was experiencing. I get that, but you can't do that. If you want to be able to experience it for your life, you just can't do that. I mean, now some investments may work out. Amon-Ra St. Brown may say to everybody, yes, because I've got, you know, $77 million guaranteed, and I'm going to invest in certain things, and it's going to work out. It's going to be just fine. Not realizing right around the corner was a recession and a crash and the real estate and housing industry just going belly up. And a lot of people lost a lot of money in that. A lot of people lost a lot of investments in that weren't just dumb and look at these NBA players that are just spending all this stupid money.
I will say he did get robbed at one point, which is not great.
At one point or gunpoint?
At gunpoint and at one point, okay. Yeah. Not only that, though, he did have allegedly a very large amount of gambling debt. So I don't think he actually helped
himself. He wasn't. It wasn't to where he made every right decision. He was spending money like you weren't going to lose it, like it was never going to go away. But he also had some things that probably should have been able to continue to earn and make money.
Sure.
Right. When you're wealthy enough to where your money makes money, you had a number of those things there that it was like, well, I'll have this that will be a lifetime continual thing that I can have some fun with this income that is a sizable amount. But I'm not risking my entire future because I've got that over there.
I now see why he played for a team in Puerto Rico as well as the Idaho Stampede as recently as 2012. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a sad story. It's a story that people may not feel bad about because, you know, you had opportunities. It's also a cautionary tale for guys tomorrow night that are going to see and hear their name drafted. And also, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm glad that he's learned to say no because you asked him for how much money on the on the podcast?
Just 1%.
Why would he 1%? Say no to 1%?
I can.
That's not even $1 million, Amon-Ra. I'm talking about the 77 guaranteed. That's not even $1 million. He can give that up. Dude, I don't like him anymore. That's selfish. That's what that is. That's just a selfish dude that cares about himself only and wasn't worried about your life.
Yeah. If you give me 1%, I will turn that into 200K very quick.
Well, the government will help you. So they'll help you get almost there. They're going to give you 750,000. They're going to take their cut, and then you'll find a way to get that down to 200.
Oh, yeah. It'll be quick.
Hopefully with a nice investment like a car. You know, that something that continues to gain equity.
Yeah, new golf clubs.
Golf clubs, cars, country club memberships, more than you already have, a couple more in your life, things like that, parties, trips to Vegas for you and the guys. Your fiance will, maybe she can go, maybe not. I don't know. She might be busy.
I hear drinking bourbon's a good investment, too.
It's a great investment.
You know, some people buy bourbon and they keep it, but what am I going to do? I'm going to at least drink it.
Yeah, if you're going to get this great bottle of
Pappy Van Winkle
bourbon, why would you not drink it? Well, probably because it doesn't taste all that good. But, you know, that's just an investment is what that is. You buy that bottle, that's just to invest and sell it later. You don't buy Pappy to open it up and drink it, right? Right? Nobody actually likes Pappy. Right?
I have not been privy to that information of tasting it.
You never tasted it?
Surprisingly, have not had that.
I don't know that I've ever heard somebody go, you know what, that was worth the $200 that I just paid for that shot. For that that glass of
only 200 for Pappy.
Well, I just made that up. I think it's probably more. I don't think it's just the. I want to know what all the hubbub is about. Well, what it's about is that it's rare. That's what it's about. It's not about, oh, my God, it's so good. It's like the 75 bottle of wine that blah, 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 from this and this season of grapes, and it's the greatest tasting wine ever, and you got to have it. It's like, no, it's just rare, and it's become a collectible.
It's not that different.
Yeah. It's like a car.
Not at all.
Yeah. Just the smart thing is just to buy cars that always gain equity, just lots and lots of cars, you know. I will need to borrow a few bucks from you, Sterling.
Same.
Yeah.
Why me?
Because you just got 1% of Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract.
You got his phone number.
Yeah. Plus, I look at that face. You can't say no to me.
I can't say
you
no
can't
to you,
You can't say
Jason.
No to me. Thank you. I won't say no to Dylan. We'll break right now. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock. Any other breaking news, guys? Jack, did you talk to anybody in the last hour or something?
My mic just broke.
You broke your mic.
Dude.
You broke the mic. Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. You just got to continue to tighten it up there, you know?
Yeah, Dylan might need to turn down my mic unless I'm
doing it. Don't do it. No, to keep it on.
This is good radio. People want to know about your escapades of turning your mic and
fixing it. I'm a handyman.
I would do more than that than just, you barely put it in. That's going to fall yet again.
I got it.
Good, mark that down.
It's as far as it can twist.
Make sure you continue to, it's a habit that I have of always tightening these things up. So people may see, like, when I'm talking, if you're watching the stream or whatever, like, I'm always, like, tightening these things up throughout the show. Just because I'm like, you know, I don't want that to happen.
Who's loosening them? Who's coming into
this,
the...
I have a habit. I have,
somebody always talks and pulls it down like this.
It's me. I have a habit. Drake hates it. He can't stand me on the air for a lot of different reasons. But one of those is that I'm always moving the mic around and I'm always... You know, doing this, and I'm sitting over here, and then I'll sit over there, and then I'll, you know, sort of lean forward. And then when you're talking, Sterling, I just want to listen. What's going on, Sterling? How are you? And so, yeah,
startled.
It loosens up.
I'm startled right now.
What's up, buddy? He's talking right now. Look at him. He's breaking Amon-Ra St. Brown news. Anyway, so, you know, that's why I have to constantly tighten it up. So now that people care about that, sausage has been made. We've seen it all. Now let's get into the eating part of it. Let's hear from Brett Veach. He talked last Friday. I don't know if anybody heard this or not, but he did talk last Friday. But there are a couple of other clips that I wanted to play. So we're going to do a mock draft simulator coming up at noon. It's the PFF mock draft simulator. A lot of people have done this. But we're going to do the exercise live on the air where we go through the mock draft and then we pause it at certain parts and say, do we want to trade up at this spot? Is it worth it? So we'll do that coming up at noon. I want to play the Brett Veach. This is going to be clip number 3 from a couple days ago, Dylan. It's Veach and trading up to the middle of the first round, roughly a minute long. Here he is talking about that just because it's something that, you know, we will be looking at and how much it would cost and what is the worth of doing that. But he was asked about that on Friday, about, you know, trading up to the middle of the first round, if that is something they would have discussed or contemplated already.
I mean, I can envision myself. I mean, got to get the owner's approval on that. But no, I think it changes every year. And I think we have a pretty good plan this, you know, this upcoming week. But yeah, I think, listen, every situation is unique. I mean, we have had conversations in the last few years about guys that we consider top 5, top 6 prospects, if they were to fall into the teams moving up, and got Clark and Andy involved and they were all in it and those situations just didn't work out. So I think that I certainly could see something like that. A lot of things have to fall in place though for that to happen. So it'd have to be the probably a specific guy or two, and then probably getting into a landing spot that's not expected. And then if he does get to that landing spot that's not expected, the team is willing to work with you on a trade that makes sense. So certainly can see it. A lot of things have to happen and fall in place for to see an outcome like that. But I always think anything's possible.
I love the part where he's self-aware and said, well, I can certainly see myself trading up to the middle of the first round. I mean, are you kidding me? I can see myself trading up to number 1. I can see myself doing a lot of I could see myself getting Ricky Williams by trading the entire draft. Yes, I could see myself doing those things. But also it has to be very specific. It'd have to be a certain player. It has to be the, you know, right spot. And the other team would have to play ball. You know, you would have to have a cooperative in this whole thing that you can go and move up and make this deal. The question I would have, though, is there anybody that realistically at 16, okay, because 15 is the Colts. I don't know that the Colts are going to want to trade. If we're talking about AFC teams don't want to trade with the Chiefs, and they're chasing them, so blah, blah, blah. So number 16 is Seattle, and they seem to be in a position to where they're trying to collect more draft picks, okay? They want to continue to rebuild. They've, you know, done some of those things, so maybe Seattle is a team. After that is Jacksonville, then Cincinnati. So if you're not trading up to 16, I don't think you're trading up until you get to 19. So you get a couple of other picks. Also, Cincinnati might be looking for an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, depending on T. Higgins. So you might want to get up and trade ahead of them. So Seattle is who I've landed on at number 16. People have said 15 because it's right in the middle of the teens. But 16 is literally the middle part of the entire draft. Doing the math when it comes to the trade value charts, it would take pick 32, obviously. But you would also give up a third this year, your third rounder next year for L'Jarius Sneed, and a fifth rounder. So you would have a first rounder, you'd have your first rounder and second rounder, and then you would still have your fourth, two fifths, and a seventh. First and second, fourth, two fifths, and a seventh. But you'd give up a first rounder this year, third rounder this year, your third rounder next year, L'Jarius Sneed, and a fifth rounder to move up to number 16.
Right now, I'm on NFL.com. They did a whole mock draft. 16, mm-hmm. Again, I think, according to Brett Veach's comments, it's making me believe if they are going to trade up, the previous comments, it's going to be for a tackle.
Tackle, yeah.
A tackle, right? I don't think it's going to be for a wide receiver. I don't think if Brock Bowers mm-hmm. starts falling, that all of a sudden they're going to trade up and give all that draft capital for a tight end. I think it'd be a tackle. Well, the Seahawks at pick 16, again, according to NFL.com, Fatanu, the tackle from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
which people think may move to guard, but I would take him as a tackle, and then, but I wouldn't trade up and use all those picks unless I know for a fact, for certain, this is I'm trading up there because I have a conviction about this guy as my left tackle.
Yes,
for the future.
So just again,
and this year too, by the way.
Yes, yes,
my
yes.
left tackle
it can't
this
be for
year.
The future.
He's
yes.
my left tackle starting on that Thursday game against what I still am guessing is the Texans.
So you have Fashanu, who they have going 14th, but let's just say those guys are switched, right?
If Fashanu's there, then
you're doing that, right?
Take my money.
They have. Let's just go ahead and say maybe it's not quite that high. What if Amarius Mims is going 20th to the Steelers? A little less. Would you do that for Amarius Mims at that point?
You'd have to get ahead of that. If he's going 20th to the Steelers, and they probably want him, so you'd have to get to the Rams at 19, which would probably take this year's first. So this year's first
fairly close. It's going to be yeah. fairly close.
It would probably
that
take,
fifth, you knock that fifth off.
So well, you would probably change the fifth to a fourth. So you'd probably have to give up 32 to get up to 19, and then you'd have to give up the L'Jarius Sneed third and a fourth rounder this year.
Sure.
So you'd get up there to 19, and you would have your first, second, third round pick, and then two fifths and a seventh. And then you would have a third rounder next year. Still, it's not like you're giving up a third rounder for next year, which I don't think is smart. I wouldn't want to do that, even though you're hoping that it's the almost worst third rounder because you'll have the comp pick third round picks. But your worst third round in terms of the snake draft of finish in terms of record, you hope that's the case. That's more palatable to me. But again, if I'm trading up there, I have to believe 100% this guy is my starting left tackle Thursday game one, assuming health. Because is he going to be good enough to be worth a third rounder and a fourth rounder? You know, a third rounder next year that you can use to maneuver and things like that. So, or essentially, you're saying, is he worth what you got for L'Jarius Sneed in a fourth rounder? Because if L'Jarius Sneed just walked and you were hoping maybe you would get a third rounder for him next year in a comp pick, then you'd say, okay, would it be worth, you lose L'Jarius Sneed, he walks, signs somewhere else, and you give up pick 32 in a fourth rounder. To get up to 19, yeah. I would say that'd be worth it, a first and a fourth to get up to 19, hell yeah. But you do have that third rounder that you can use now to move around, or you can just simply use it next year and take extra players. Like, if I'm moving up that far, if I'm moving up in the teens, it has to be for my tackle that I know is going to start game number one.
I think it has to be a home run pick, too. I don't feel like, not only for this year, but you can't miss on it in general. I mean, I didn't think the trade package that you brought up is detrimental, right? You're trading your first round, you do lose a third rounder next year, and then you say a fifth rounder as well. So you still would have your first rounder. You keep your second rounder. Mm-hmm. There were two fifths in there. There was a seventh. So I feel like there's still a number of picks there. But you're exactly right. That means at that point, that we talked about this last week, you are punting on Wanya Morris being your tackle, starting tackle, really at any point. Juwan Taylor's under contract, and this guy who you'd be trading up for would have to be your left tackle of the next, what, 3 to 4 years? And maybe, let's be honest, the future left tackle for Patrick Mahomes.
If you're trading up, I think you're trading up, and then you're giving him a second contract.
Yeah, it would have to be, as I said, the home run hire. And there are guys you can really like there, but it probably depends on what those first 10 picks look like, because we know Joe Ault is going
seventh.
Seventh.
I don't think he's getting past seven.
Yeah.
So he might go higher, but he's not getting past the
Titans. I think he's going five to the Chargers.
I think so?
I'd be shocked.
And then
Marvin Harrison is there, or... You know. J.J. McCarthy, trade Herbert and get McCarthy for Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, please, I'll take it, as long as Herbert's traded to the NFC. That'd be awesome. I'd love that. I'd love that to be the case.
I think in the latest mock, it had McCarthy even going to New England, which would be another tough quarter. Yeah. Wow. Charles Davis, or I think, who was it?
Yeah, it's Charles Davis.
Charles Davis
right
is
now,
mock, yeah. But then they have a ton of offensive linemen going top 20. They got Amarius Mims going 20th. They had... Who else here was
J.C. Latham.
Latham.
They have Fitano. Fuaga.
Fitano.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
The three Fs.
And that, to me, I don't know if you trade up that high unless it is Fitano.
To me, it's Fitano.
Or bust.
Yeah.
I don't think you would trade up for Amarius Mims or Latham. I think at that point, if you are going tackle with that 32nd pick, in my opinion, I would just wait for Suamataia at 32. If you are not going to trade up, to me, it would be Fitano or don't trade up. And then if it does fall in your favor and somehow Amarius Mims is available or somehow Latham, I don't think Latham's going to be there either.
But also, like, I think Latham's a right tackle. Like, that's all he's played in his career is right tackle. The only, like, literally the only left tackle he's played is on kicking unit. Like, he plays left tackle on the field goal, unit. That's it.
Yep.
He's a right tackle. That's all he has played. I don't want to draft a guy who's only played right tackle in his entire career and then say he's my left tackle, especially if I'm trading up to get him. Like, it'd be different if, like, well, you know, people think Fitano is going to move to guard. Okay. But he's played 3 years as a starting left tackle for a team that, you know, played in the national championship game. You know, he's been that starting left tackle. Well, you might have to move him to guard. Okay, but at least he's played left tackle. Whereas, you know, Latham at Alabama, well, maybe he could play left tackle, right? But he's never done that. You know, at least Fitano's done that. And that's why it's where it's Fitano or it's Fuaga. But really, for me, like, because I don't think Fuaga's going to be there. I don't think, certainly Joe. If Joe Walt's there, then, you know, again, take all my money. Here it is. Take
Mortgage
the money.
It.
Yes, if Joe Walt somehow gets past Tennessee and then other people are like, I don't know, there's something wrong with this Ault fella. I don't know. I would certainly trade it. I'm not trading in the top 10 for Joe Walt. But, like, if Fitano somehow is there at 16, then, yeah, I would give up the 2/3 and a 1/5 to move up and get that guy because I think he can be a Pro Bowl left tackle.
My concern is a lot of tackles, even phenomenal tackles, it takes them a year to really develop. That transition, I always say tackles and edge rushers or just defensive line, just trenches in general, but specifically on the outside with tackles, it takes a long time to develop. Right? It's not always you plug them in at year one, okay, they're a rookie, they're now your left tackle, they're going to be a stud. It takes a while, and I wonder if again, the Chiefs are in this situation where they need a left tackle now. Do you believe that Wanya Morris, who had his rookie slumps last year, if he's taking that jump forward? I personally do. I've been a Wanya supporter over here. But that's the one question I have. If you give up all that draft capital, you bring in a left tackle, he's still going to have a lot of struggles this year. That does not fix this year's left tackle situation, at least in my opinion.
So what you're saying is, like, with Wanya Morris, you hope that he's part of a rookie class that grows from boys to men? All right, wrapping up this hour, we'll do a little mock draft simulator coming up in the next hour. We'll go through and, you know, as we were talking about there with what's it worth, who would be worth trading up and getting. And we'll see what, you know, a number of different mock draft simulators may present to the Chiefs at different points in the draft. So we'll kind of we'll pause it and look at different options that are there for the Chiefs. And then if we decide to make a trade and draft somebody, then we'll start it over. and see what happens if we don't make that trade and we get later on in the draft. So a number of different scenarios inside, kind of see what we end up doing with those different options and scenarios. We'll do that on the other side of the break. And then Mick Schaefer will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. More Zone right after this.